Harsh and you're listening to your First Post Cricket Podcast. Today we'll be talking about a topic that has been divisive of late, which is the future of MS Dhoni as an international cricketer. I have with me Ayaz Memon and Gaurav Kalra to discuss this. In the recent press conference, India's chief selector MSK Prasad said they are moving on and have set sights on the future. Is Prasad's statement more than an indication about Dhoni's future?
I think that he's gone as far as the selectors can go. This is essentially the job of a selector, you know, Vaibhav. I think sometimes these things get looked at very emotionally, and there obviously is emotion attached with great players and you look at it in that way. However, the selectors are meant to pick sides and also meant to plan how these teams will progress in international cricket. I mean, that is the job of a selector. So he was very clear that till the World Cup, they saw a spot for MS Dhoni in the same way that the selectors had planned for Yuvraj Singh to be part of the team largely till the 2017 Champions Trophy and go from there. Now, at 38, they've realized that there are other options for MS Dhoni's spot available. Young players who are making a claim. MS Dhoni is perhaps not at the peak of his powers. There is a T20 World Cup coming up in a year from now when he will be 39. Should they be playing younger players in the T20 format or should they continue with Dhoni? They've made the decision that they will be moving on. I think I always remember this one line, and Ayaz, I'm sure, has seen many of these things, careers start and then, you know, sort of peter off. But something that John Inverarity, who was the Australian chief selector at the time that Ricky Ponting's one-day career was brought to an end, he said, in elite sport, there is no place for sentiment. We get sentimental, it's fair enough. However, the selectors have a job to do. And I think kudos to MSK Prasad, as far as I am concerned, for having made the comment that he did, because it clarifies the situation and says that in the selectors' minds, MS Dhoni's time as an international cricketer is largely over. If a new selection committee comes in and wants to consider him, good luck to them. But in this selection committee's mind, his time is over. That's a strong, clear-headed statement to make. And if MS Dhoni wishes to make himself still available and in contention, he has every right to do so. It's his personal call.
All right, I understand. Ayaz, what do you make of this uncertainty hovering over MS Dhoni's future? We don't really know what is going on with him. He's been away from cricket and now perhaps out of contention. What do you make of it?
From the selector's point of view, or from any selection, you know, processes point of view, you can only go by form, not by past reputation alone. Past reputation for a limited period of time, yes. You have to be able to ascertain whether this player will be able to deliver or not. So if Dhoni is not playing, not participating in any tournament, then obviously you can't, you know, say, okay, I will take him because in 2007, he won the T20 World Cup for us and he was the captain and outstanding performer. So obviously you have to go by current form is paramount, more than even age, I would say, because you can have, you know, Chris Gayle is in great demand in T20 leagues across the world, even at the age of 40, because they want something from him, he delivers. That said, I think the issue in Indian cricket currently is that there seems to be a divergence of views between the selection committee, newly appointed BCCI president, and the coach and captain. The BCCI president says, you know, great players don't just fade away.
Yeah,
you know, Ganguly has said. And what that implies is that, you know, don't write him off. Maybe he said he'll speak to him or be an interventionist, whatever. The coach, Ravi Shastri, and the captain, Virat Kohli, have, till this World Cup, which the 50-over World Cup which was played, kept saying that they rely so heavily on Dhoni, his experience and his calibre and his class, etc. So there is a certain dichotomy which has emerged. Now, I think, and I agree with Gaurav here, the chief selector or the selection committee's job is to say, this is how we see it. If the BCCI president wants to take a different point of view and influence it in some other way, that's his prerogative.
Well, big evidence. I mean, this has happened in the past. What Ayaz has said is, in fact, in the case of MS Dhoni himself, because after the two defeats in Australia and England in 2011-12, one of the selectors at the time, Mohinder Ramanath, went publicly and said that his decision was to drop MS Dhoni. In fact, at the selection committee meeting,
as a captain,
they decided to drop MS Dhoni as the captain of the side, and it was overruled by the BCCI president at the time, which was a constitutional right of the BCCI president. Of course, there were other factors at play at the time. There was a controversy about whether there was a conflict because he was CSK boss, etc. All that said is gone. I think one of the points Ayaz made, Vaibhav, is important about reputation. Mm-hmm. But where is reputation valued the most? What is reputation? Reputation is he will perform under pressure. He has the experience. He's been able to stand up when the team needs it the most. That reputation is valued at big tournaments like a World Cup. That's why that reputation for Dhoni helped him in the last couple of years when his form was iffy, sometimes good, sometimes poor, sometimes not being able to deliver. Now, between now and the next World Cup, someone else must be allowed to build that reputation. That is the idea of a selection. And I think that's why I am of the view that even slight disagreement with Ayaz here is that I don't think Saurav Ganguly is saying something completely different to what MSK Prasad is saying. He's saying, yes, champions don't fade away, but maybe this one has. Who's to know? He's got to figure it out with his own mind. And I think I would be very surprised if we see MS Dhoni play for India again.
Okay, that's a big statement in itself.
But I just want to interject here quickly, sure. Vaibhav. I think, you know, we are putting the onus on Dhoni. Now, fine, if he feels he can announce his retirement, but there's nothing to compel him to announce his retirement.
Absolutely.
The selectors and the administration have to go by what they think is the best deal for Indian cricket, whether it includes Dhoni or doesn't include Dhoni. So I don't think it is incumbent on Dhoni to stand up and say, hey guys, I'm 38, I'm retiring. Why should it be like that? You know, and there is no fixed age at which you should say that I've had enough.
And I think selection committee has done what they wanted to.
Look, I think the issue is Dhoni himself is not available. He's not playing right now. Mm-hmm. Till he starts playing, you don't even know whether he... If he's not playing, he's not in contention. Yeah. It is as simple as that. But suppose he starts playing T20 tournaments, domestic, mm-hmm. or ODI tournaments, and makes a heck of a lot of runs, more than any of the younger players, then what are you going to do? You'll say, okay, we must see. You can't say, now he's 38, so he's gone. If he's still playing, if he's still active, he's in contention, if he's not announced his retirement. There is a need for selectors and for the administration and whoever's in charge to not just have a team for the present, but also have an eye on the future and build teams for the future. That is for certain. That's why in your squad, you include at least 3 or 4 players who are potential long-term players in the future. As I see it, Dhoni is not raising a black banner thing and saying, why aren't you selecting me? Mm-hmm. That's not the issue.
Yeah.
He's not playing.
But how do you explain MSK Prasad's decision to an emotional fan who has invested so much in MS Dhoni?
I think this sort of emotional fan bit is also a bit overstated, according to me. This is the nature of elite sport. Everybody who starts playing international sport understands that time in international sport is a finite, perishable commodity. As you play, the clock is ticking. There have been several players greater than MS Dhoni who've had to retire from international cricket. Sachin Tendulkar's retired from international cricket, and, you know, think back to all of the greats that have played for India or around the world. There will come a time when Roger Federer will retire, not very long from now. He and Dhoni are actually exactly the same age. There will be a time when Rafa Nadal will retire. There will be a time when all the great. And I think that fans, while emotionally invested in their players, learn also to move on from that, because a team at the end of the day is a set of professional sportsmen who are there to do a job, and the sum of the parts is what delivers victories and defeats. I think if MS Dhoni were to announce his retirement today, there will be huge outpouring of emotion, which is fair enough. There will be lots of gratitude shown towards him, which he deserves. Perhaps there will be a farewell match like the one that Ashish Nehra got. I have no problem with that as well, given there are certain players who have that eminence and stature. However, once it ends, and the fans will learn then to start emotionally investing in the next big thing, which is Rishabh Pant.
Life rolls on, that's inevitable.
That is what MSK Prasad is saying, moving on. Like you mentioned, in elite sport, how hard it is for a sportsman, international sportsman, to decide that it's time.
I think it's the most vexing decision in any sportsperson's career. Mm-hmm. Most vexing decision. Because there is no fixed age. I mean, for instance, if we are in a job, the retirement age is told to you earlier. It is 58, 60, 65, whatever it may be. And even if you're fit, you have to go.
Yes.
Right? If you're unfit, you may struggle and finish those years till retirement, even though you may not be working at the optimum. There's no such thing in a sportsperson's career. You're as good as your last match or your last innings or whatever else. And also how much hunger you still have it in you, your fitness, mentally whether you are equipped to take on another challenge. And in the case of team sports, it becomes even more difficult because there are other elements involved, like a selection panel, like fellow players who start wondering, hey, yeah, this guy now, I don't know whether he's pulling his weight or not. They may articulate it or not, but that feeling might go around in the dressing room. As an individual player, you can, you know, Ken Rosewall played till he was 43, 44.
Yeah, yeah. Jeff Boycott played into his 40s. Some players retire in their early 30s. I think, of course, it is a personal and a difficult decision for a sportsman to make because, I mean, you know, you grow up doing just this. You're 12, 13 years old. From that time onwards, you want to become, you know, the best sportsman that you can be. You do it all your adult life, and then when you reach sort of a time in your life, mid-30s, you've still got half your life or more ahead of you. You basically stop doing what is the only thing that you know how to do. So, you know, you do want to stretch it as much as possible in the minds of some people. But I think it's a question of, you know, different people's comfort with that decision. Several players have found it much easier to come to that decision. I still remember the way, for instance, Rahul Dravid made that decision. Very practical. That in the last series that he played against Australia, he got bowled a few times. And he said that maybe just that half a second in my game's gone. And maybe, you know, he was actually, Vaibhav, wanting to retire after the 2011 series in England when he made 300s.
Okay.
He made runs. He wanted to retire at that time on a high and everything. But because the team struggled and nobody was getting runs, the conversation then was, Rahul, you're playing well. Why not go to Australia? Because you will be an important batsman and you're in form. You've been making runs. So he got tempted into that to extend his career a little bit to play in Australia. It didn't work out because he had a poor series and it ended up that way. His test match and Lakshman's was both of them the same test match, the last one. But Lakshman wasn't retiring after Adelaide. Lakshman actually got himself ready to play the home season and then made the decision before the home season began that he was going to be ending up blocking a young player's spot. So he should make that decision and move on. So mindsets are different. Even these two guys, it ended up that their last test match was the same one. However, they arrived at that destination very differently. So I think we've got many learnings from these things. Pete Sampras, a great example, started to prepare after winning, started to prepare for a Grand Slam tournament and was playing quite well on the practice court, but then said, you know, something's missing, and called it off and decided to move on. We are not elite sportsmen. Mm-hmm. When you are not an elite sportsman, you don't know what it takes to be an elite sportsman, and you don't know what is that little thing that goes missing, which makes you then, a little birdie in your head says, man, it's over.
It may have nothing to do with the sport. You know, your decision to retire may be for family reasons.
Yes. Sure.
Maybe for reasons of complete ennui and boredom. I've done it for 15, 18, 20 years. I don't want to even hold a tennis racket again. It can happen. I mean, Andre Agassi, it's interesting to understand. He loathed tennis. But he kept playing because his father forced him and he became multiple Grand Slam winner.
Something very similar to Yuvraj Singh.
But I'm just saying so. And at what age it'll hit you, you can't say. Sometimes, you know, the thing is, you are assailed by self-doubts right through your career. As a performing artist, when does a hero become a character artist? When did he decide that I can no longer run around trees? The audience may reject me. I don't want to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, what compels a sports person to retire can be multiple factors. It can't be only one. It need not be only one. You know, it could be age, it could be aching body, it could be just a jaded mind, or, you know, I've had a rotten run. Why don't I quit till I'm still up?
Sure.
Rather than, you know, getting thrown out.
Quit when they say why and not why not.
So, all kinds of things can happen. And frankly, there is a certain age beyond which you become more and more vulnerable. But it's not fixed at 36 or 38 or 39. You know, you may start becoming vulnerable in cricket post your mid-30s, for instance, nowadays because of fitness standards and nutrition and sports medicine keeps you going. But there was a time when a lot of the Aussies would finish, I mean, Ian Chappell finished his career, what, 33, 34?
Yeah, in fact, Vaibhav, I know we've gone on a little bit about this, but what Ayaz is bringing up is something I just want to expand on a little bit also. I was very interested in reading what Shane Warne said after he retired. He made a very good point, Ayaz. His point was that I don't have a problem with the bowling. I know I can still do it. I know I'm still the best spinner that Australia can call upon. I don't have any competition on that front. I know I can still be an international quality spinner. It's all the surround stuff around it. The training, yeah, the physio sessions, the travel, the long way away from... I don't want to have all of those things surrounding me. I want... That's wearing me down rather than the bowling itself. You ask me to bowl, I can do that. Various factors go into thinking about these things. And maybe, you know, this message from MSK Prasad that's gone to MS Dhoni will make him wonder if there is no place for him in Indian cricket. Does he want to commit to the grind of the level lower?
But, Gaurav, I have an issue with this. We are making Dhoni the central figure in this.
Yeah.
When actually he need not be. You know, it's a question asked of MSK. Dhoni is not saying, please look at me and select
Correct.
Me. Dhoni is not saying that.
I agree with that.
You know, Dhoni is not saying, yaar, tum, how can you select somebody else when I'm still around?
No, in fact, MSK Prasad said that we've communicated this to Dhoni and he's in agreement that we should be looking at youngsters.
I mean, and then too, the next step is, but then he should retire, is very flawed.
Yeah.
If he's not playing and you're not choosing him, the matter ends there.
So essentially you're saying the focus shouldn't be on him.
The focus will be on him because he's MS Dhoni and he's 38 and, you know, people will question. But I'm saying, going by the evidence that we've got, he's not playing. He's not taking the field at all since the World Cup. So now if there is a series, how will you select him? Based on what? He has to either prove his fitness, come back, come and play a few games, something or the other he has to do, no?
But every series there will be a question, where is he, where is he, where is he?
No, so I'm saying he's not saying please raise that query.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't select him if he's not available, either through injury or because he's not playing.
So it will be an unsolved mystery.
I think what may happen is not an unsolved mystery. If he's going to play the IPL, for instance, and he comes up in roaring form, or before that, and he plays what are other matches, other tournaments, which make players eligible for selection to the team. For just to give you an example, Virat Kohli is not in the T20 team now. But it's not that he's not been playing for the last 6 months or 4 months, and therefore there is a question mark on his participation next year. He's been given respite and rest, which is very different from Dhoni's case. This is my way of looking at it as I see the scenario developing, that we are 4-5 months away, 6 months away from the IPL. I don't know whether Dhoni will play some matches before that in this season, if there are any tournaments available. He will, I think, certainly play the IPL. He will himself be able to assess, and everybody else, including us, see how he's shaping up or not, by which time a lot of these youngsters will have got their opportunities. If he's in great form, you can think about what you want to do with him.
But then World Cup is 3 months, 4 months away from the
six
IPL.
Months away.
Yeah.
6 months away.
Yeah.
Then you have to play him. He has to play competitive international cricket or domestic cricket to show that he's still worthy of being selected. What I'm saying is not incumbent on him announcing his retirement or not. If he doesn't qualify, it doesn't mean, you know, it's his choice here, whether he wants to announce his retirement or not.
No, the question is not about...
You can't force retirement down somebody's throat, no?
Sure.
No, of course, I think that it's quite clear that whether it's team sport or individual sport, the choice of retirement is 100% with the individual himself.
Definitely.
Now, in this case, what is the question in front of him? The question is, in a cricket team, you will play one wicketkeeper batsman. The selectors are saying, we are playing XYZ right now, and if that doesn't work out, we have already looked at XYZ. And we are moving forward. So the message is very clear. He used that word. The message is very clear. Now, MS Dhoni, at his level, believes that he wants to make a contention for that spot. His argument is, if he believes that he wants to make a contention for that spot, he will then go back to the only way that you can make a contention, which is play the level lower.
Correct.
Play the IPL and say, right, this is my contention, in the same way that several players have done in the past.
Absolutely.
And succeeded. Now, Sourav Ganguly gave his own example in the comments that he made, that, you know, I was out of the Indian team and I went back to domestic cricket, made runs and came back into the Indian team. At the time that he did it, he was 33, 34. At the time that Dhoni is being asked to do it, he's 38, 39. There's a big difference. Let's see. He may come back and prove everybody wrong about the fact that he is by far and away the best wicketkeeper batsman in the country. However, at this time, the selectors are saying we've moved on from him. Now it's upon him to either convince them or to say to himself, it's not worth me making the effort to convince them. I call it a day.
Not that it is restricted to Indian cricketers only, but some instances where there has been a huge UN cry surrounding retirements of legendary players. I'm talking about is, for example, Gavaskar's retirement. You know, Kapil Dev was running just from few yards while bowling in international cricket, searching for his record 434th test wicket. Tendulkar playing for the 100th century. Even Mithali Raj recently coped some criticism. You could perhaps add a few more players in that
I would
list.
Say you can't restrict it only to Indian cricketers.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is human nature here.
Yeah.
You know, if you're approaching a record, say for instance, you know, you talk about Kapil Dev, 8 wickets short. And he's Kapil Dev, he's a big star. Now, either you have selectors or an administration, we said we don't care a fig. You're dumped.
Which is fair.
Or you say, you know, he's an Indian, he's done fantastic service. It's a question of getting 8-10 wickets more. Let's persist with him. I mean, Steve Waugh had to be told, boss, you have to make way. He was not going on his own. Mm-hmm. Neither was Jeff Boycott, even at the age of 42. I can tell you Sir Garfield Sobers, who I think was the greatest cricketer that has ever lived. He was once asked to give a trial fitness test, having stayed away from the game for a while. He refused. They dropped him. But then they brought him back because he was Garfield Sobers. He played for one more year and retired. So, I mean, it's not isolated. It's not that only in Indian cricket we are seeing these examples. Javed Miadad, he extended his career. He played in the 1996 World Cup. You know, he was 39 years old. I've seen him at his zenith. Here he was huffing and puffing to run singles and twos, which earlier he would make the field look like a bunch of rookies, the fielders.
Okay, so sure, but across the world, this culture is there that there is champions do want to push a little more than their prime, and which is okay.
Because you don't know exactly, no. I mean, it's not an absolute science. Today, I think Gaurav made a very interesting example of Rahul Dravid. Mm-hmm. In England, he was matchless, peerless, the way he batted, and I was there 2011. And I was there in Australia in 2011. 5-6 months later, he just couldn't put bat to ball. The same batsman.
And if you think back to Sachin Tendulkar's last test innings, he was very fluent in that innings. He played beautifully, yeah. Made 70-odd and should have actually got 100 and then got out to a spinner. You see, Vaibhav, I mean, I think it's important to remember that the skills of players, you know, if you're talking cricketers in specific, those skills don't vanish, especially when it comes to skills of, for instance, I would imagine batting is probably not going to vanish like a fast bowler is going to slow down or
Correct.
Things of that nature will happen. Glenn McGrath was man of the series at the 2007 World Cup. That was his swan song. It was the last time he played for Australia, he was man of the series. He picked up some 20-odd wickets, was virtually unplayable throughout that World Cup. I mean, was Australia's best bowler at that World Cup. So I think that, again, you know, I think we circle back to the issue as it stands right now. Players learn of what the signals that their mind and body is telling them, how the ecosystem is around them. Some players like the idea, for instance, of competition from younger players. They like the idea of pitting themselves against someone who's a fresh, young talent coming through. They want to show that, you know, we are going to be able to match up to these guys and do it well. Other players view it slightly differently. They say that there is enough young talent. This young talent deserves its place in the sun, so I must move away. You know, it's a question of mindset and personal belief in those situations. I think that in most of these scenarios, they are remembered for all of the things that they've achieved. You know, I think Kapil is not remembered for his last year in international
Correct.
Cricket. He's remembered for being the great all-rounder that he was for nearly two decades. And neither is Sunny Gavaskar remembered only for the fact that he timed his retirement perfectly. He's remembered for the fact that he was a great legend of Indian cricket.
No, but he was batting superbly in his last
test match. That's what I was saying. He timed his retirement perfectly. He played one of his best innings as his last test innings, the 96 against Pakistan at Bangalore.
No, he didn't do it because he had lost form or he had become old. I think he just decided, I've had enough, you know. Mentally, I don't want to take it anymore. He said that, you know, and he's gone on record to say this, when he woke up and said, one more day on the field, the fielding hurt him more than the batting. It could be one trigger, it could be multiple triggers that make up your mind.
Sure, so there is no definite answer to it. It's been used in an adage that, like you mentioned, retire when people are asking, why instead of when?
Instead of why not?
Yeah, instead of why not. Somebody who followed that sort of philosophy was McCallum and Kumar Sangakkara, which are recent memory for me. And then he retired and he went on to play for Surrey for 3 years and scored a truckload of runs and everything. And there was a counter argument. If you're doing so well, why are you not representing your country?
I think that the difference is that the international circuit is a year-round treadmill. I mean, you are constantly playing. In the case of someone like a McCallum or a Sangakkara, these examples, Vaibhav, that you bring up, it's important that they could kind of still stay in touch with cricket, but at a level below where the intensity is maybe a little bit lesser, where the pressure on them as being the main player in the team is just a little bit lesser. In T20 leagues, you can go out and have a bit of fun. You can pick and choose how much you want to play. You have a lot more family time. You've got, you probably don't have to invest as much of your body and mind in training, etc. You can come in and out. And, you know, international cricket is a completely different beast. It's a bit like, I would imagine, that, you know, the difference is between, say, the regular golf tour and the Masters tour, right? You know, you play, of course, comparatively, but the level of competition is not quite the same. You know, after Roger Federer retires from playing tennis, he may still want to play the occasional Laver Cup, or might want to stay with playing for Switzerland in the Davis Cup, or he might want to play a few tournaments at home here and there, and that's his personal choice. I think cricketers, they get tired and mentally completely shot as a result of this international cricket grind, which is 10-11 months of the year. And then if they want to continue playing, they just want to reduce the intensity. That's when these options of T20 leagues and county cricket comes up. I don't think they are, you know, I think again, sometimes these phrases get used a bit excessively, serving the country, etc. They're not soldiers, they're just sportsmen. They're just playing a sport and they play it to the best they can for a certain amount of time, then somebody else takes over. So I don't hold it against people like McCallum and Sangakkara for deciding to play on, but not for their country.
No, but you know, Madhav Apte, for the fun of it, for the enjoyment of it, he played Ganga League till he was in his late 70s.
Sure.
But, you know, that's not for at a competitive level or at the international level. There's a difference between first-class level and an international level also. When you wear the country's colours, it's a different ball game altogether. Look, retirement is a very personal kind of a decision. It's an excruciating decision to make because Gaurav mentioned, and I think everybody knows, you've spent the better part of 20 years maybe of your life, 25 years if you've started at the age of 8 or 9, building up a profile for yourself and a career for yourself, and then to find it end or ending when you're not even midlife. So a lot of people find themselves on the precipice, and then beyond that is the void. What do I do next? That used to be the biggest stumbling block. In the old days when people held jobs while playing, for instance, in Indian cricket, people had jobs or they had patrons. But today, there are more options available. The problem today is careers have got lengthened or prolonged because of better fitness standards, more money available.
Yeah.
There's something more to be done. When there was no money, you decided that decision perhaps became a little easier.
I think Ganguly was also asked this. What do you think is a bigger thing, being captain of India or being
president
of the BCC? And he said, you know, being captain of India is a completely different thing. I think the whole, sometimes why players like sticking to international sport is because they know nothing will match that experience. The high of being part of a team that wins a contest and being involved in that and being in the middle of the field, being the object of adoration and being able to do the things that you are doing.
The wide line fever.
Yeah, it's not something that you can replicate in any other job as a commentator, sitting on in a, definitely for a sportsman, I'm sure office jobs are very tough, or as a, or an administrator or things of that nature. So you know that when it ends, you've got to be comfortable with when it ends. That's why the dilemmas, that's why the problems.
Yeah, that's understandable. Finding a definite answer to such a dilemma was always going to be tricky. Yes, some players do conjure a fairy tale end to their careers, but for every individual first to come to terms with it, to identify it, to understand it, and then to implement it is perhaps, like Ayaz said it earlier, is the most vexing of all decisions. On that note, we would like to end today's episode. It was, as always, good to have you both on our podcast. And for our listeners, thank you for joining us. See you next time.